The following podcast was made possible by the sponsorship of Teresa Leong Lee and by Catholic Digital Resources, where you can find downloadable faith formation resources and evangelization tools. Visit Catholic Digital Resources at CatholicDR.com to build your own faith and the faith of others. That's CatholicDR.com.
Good News Ministries of GNM.org presents Footsteps to Heaven. Life's a journey full of challenges. Sometimes we get stalled. Sometimes we get sidetracked. When we walk with Jesus and the power of the Holy Spirit to the destination that God the Father designed for us, the results are better than we could ask for or imagine. And now, here is your host, Terry Modica.
In this episode of The Decree on the Apostolate of the Laity, I'm going to share a personal experience of an apostolate that I took on many years ago for the sake of a parish that had a very abusive priest. And through the Blessed Mother's help, through doing what I call a rosary walkathon, this parish was delivered from this abusive priest and received instead a very holy priest who helped heal the parish. One of the best tools that we've got is the rosary, because the rosary includes all the mysteries of Christ and his victory over Satan. And it includes the Blessed Mother's victory over Satan, because, you know, she was full of grace, and she, so full of grace, did not sin. This was a gift that God gave her at her conception so that she could bear in her womb the presence of God. Because God cannot mingle with sinners. God does not. You can't have the holy and the unholy together in the same place. So God made, through what we call the Immaculate Conception of Mary, she was conceived without the stain of original sin on her, and therefore was able to hold God in her womb as Jesus was being formed in human form. And so the rosary is a powerful weapon, and the devil hates it. Exorcists have said that when they call upon the name of Mary, even just her name, the demons in the possessed people hate that name, hate Mary, because she is so powerful. And exorcists have even said that at a glance from the Blessed Mother of God, from her place in heaven, a glance at the demons that are possessing somebody, the demons will flee. So we have that weapon in the power of praying the rosary. We need to not underestimate its importance. And I could do a whole podcast episode on that. But right now I want to focus on using this powerful weapon for the purging of the demonic influences from our church today. And I, like I said, I'm going to share my own personal experience as a witness, a testimony of how to do it, and to show how effective it is against all kinds of obstacles and against all kinds of frustrating obstacles that were trying to prevent God's will from being done for this parish. Before I get into that, I would like to share from this decree on the Apostolate of the Laity the right that we have to do this. This decree, I firmly believe, was inspired by the Holy Spirit. It was written by the bishops at the time of Vatican Council II, and I am absolutely convinced that the Holy Spirit knew that today, this time in our church, the crises that we are having in our churches, our different parishes, as well as all the way up to the Vatican, the Holy Spirit knew this day was coming. And he knew that with a lot of corrupt clergy, that maybe estimates are that maybe there's a third of the clergy I've heard as many as 60%. I don't believe that. Honestly, with the priests that I've met, and that's many, many over the years, I believe that there are different levels of involvement in the infiltration of demonic forces in our church. The priest who may be a bishop at this point, consciously choosing the life of sin and promoting it and passing it on to others, like has happened in seminaries where seminarians have been molested and they are groomed, is the official word, so that they accept. You know, they're groomed through intimidation, they're groomed through what feels like loving friendship and that sort of thing. And so there's been a lot of infiltrating the priesthood through the corruption of homosexuality being foisted upon seminarians. That's just one example of how willful obedience to Satan and disobedience to God has infiltrated our church. And then there are those who are priests who have been raised by our culture, the culture of self-centeredness, the culture of wanting to be respected, not because they've earned the respect, but because they've put themselves into a position of, I'm the priest, you've got to obey me, you've got to respect me, without being fully aware of what it means to be a good shepherd, truly a good shepherd. The way Jesus describes it, the way Scripture describes it in multiple places, a good shepherd who cares so much about the lay faithful, the people under their care, that every homily, every opportunity to have contact with the parishioners, as well as people who are thinking about becoming Catholics, people who have left the church because they've been hurt or because they have misconceptions, the world has pulled them away, whatever. They're, a holy priest is somebody who will dare to speak the truth, even from the homily, the hard truth that some people don't want to hear, but they need to hear because it's the solution to their problems. We have many, many people that come to church with a restlessness and they're not being evangelized by the priest when he has opportunity to reach these people. Evangelization is not being taken seriously. There are many priests who have the attitude of, this is my job, not a heartfelt ministry. There are priests who won't listen to what the laity are crying out for because they think they know what they're supposed to say and do, and they may be legalistically applying canon law or scripture or whatever to a situation where it doesn't really apply. A different scripture, different canon law applies. And so there's a lot of insensitivity. There are priests who are well-meaning but are simply insensitive or have been trained wrongly. And then there are the holy priests, the truly holy, holy, holy priests. Not that middle range people, that I talked about doesn't have holiness in them. They do. But there's the truly humble holy priest who really is a man after God's own heart and really wants to connect with the hearts of the people he's called to serve and really sees himself as the servant of the people. John Paul II, that beloved saint, Pope John Paul II, said that, he called himself the servant of the servants of God. He was the servant as the head priest of the servants who are the priests of the people of God. When a priest sees himself truly as a servant, he is a holy priest. When he truly realizes that, like every one of us, he sins every day and he needs to grow and he needs to learn more, he is a holy priest. And I would say that there are more holy priests in our church today than unholy priests. Some of them are at various stages in that middle range that need growth. They need to be challenged, perhaps. And if any of them, any of that level of being pawns of Satan, inadvertently or deliberately, if any of them are priests that you know, and you've been wondering, how can you be an instrument of God to purge the church of the evils that Satan has brought in and is bringing in through priests that you know? Or this could be also for anybody in leadership, a youth leader, a parish manager, a religious sister, anybody, okay? I'm specifically going to keep talking about priests because that is the biggest picture, but please apply what I'm saying to anybody who's in leadership, because everyone in leadership is called to be a good shepherd. To give us the background to understand that we have a right to do something and, in fact, a calling to do something, let me read to you from this document, paragraph 7. In the course of history, the use of temporal things has been marred by serious vices. Now, what is meant here by temporal things? That a temporal thing is temporary things, earthly things. So, in light of what's happening today, think about the earthly things that some priests are doing. The temporal things that are corrupting his calling, corrupting his vocation. Affected by original sin, this document says, men have frequently fallen into many errors concerning the true God, the nature of man, and the principles of the moral law. This has led to the corruption of morals and human institutions, and not rarely to contempt for the human person himself. Think about that in terms of deliberate abuses that some in the church hierarchy have been inflicting upon people, and ergo inflicting upon the whole church. The whole church must work vigorously in order that men may become capable of rectifying the distortion of the temporal order, the earthly things that have infiltrated our church. And not everything earthly is evil, but now we're talking about the serious vices that have come out of using temporal things within the church and using them under the influence of demonic forces. The whole church must work vigorously in order that men may become capable of rectifying the distortion of the temporal order and directing it to God through Christ. How do we rectify what's going on? I'm going to talk about the Rosary Walkathon that I did many years ago and that I recommend now. I'm going to teach you how to do it, and on my website there are resources to really get you started in that. The laity, this document says, must take up the renewal of the temporal order as their own obligation. Remember the previous sentence I said, the whole church must work vigorously? That includes you, my friend, as well as myself and everybody in the pew, everybody who is aware that there are problems. If you're aware, you are called. As this document says, the laity must take up the renewal of the temporal order as their own special obligation. This document, in effect, the rest of this document, and I do recommend that you read it. You can get it on my website. There's a link to it. You can get it off the Vatican website and download it, print it, whatever. The rest of this document is talking about how the laity can renew the temporal order around us. That includes anything temporary. It includes our work. It includes where we go to the grocery store. It includes our treatment of the environment. It includes, a lot of things. But let's apply it right now to the earthly temporal things that have gotten us into trouble in the church. Led by the light of the gospel and the mind of the church, and we're talking about the true mind of the true church, not some of the corrupted thinking that's been spreading. By the light of the gospel and the mind of the church, and motivated by what? Motivated by anger for what's going on as evil? No. motivated by Christian charity. They must act, we the laity, must act directly and in a definite way. Yes, we are angry at what's evil. We are supposed to be angry at what Satan is doing. We are supposed to hate what Satan has done in the church. But not without loving the people who have been corrupted by Satan. Even the worst of them. We do the rosary and anything else that we do to purify and renew the church. We do it out of love for the victims. Let me read to you something that I wrote to somebody. This is an email that I wrote to someone back in 2004 when I was in the middle of dealing with I was doing a ministry of helping people know what to do when they wrote to me at Good News Ministries or in a local parish and said, this is terrible what's going on. This is hurting the church. This is hurting people. This is anti-evangelization. It's against the will of God. You know, what do I do? And let me share with you what I said to one person in particular, because it's basically is what I always say. Now, a little bit of background here. This person was complaining to me because he or she had written to the bishop about the problem going on in the parish and nothing happened. And there were also things at the same time, around that same time, that came out in the news that even made us suspect that the bishop himself was possibly doing some corrupt things. But the very fact that the bishop was written to and called by many people in the parish where that I'm going to share my story about, there were many people who had written to the bishop over 4 years' time, and they were basically ignored. When the bishop did do something, it was pretty much a farce, because the bishop sent the diocesan lawyer to meet with the staff, who was saying, help, 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 we're being so severely abused and traumatized by this priest. By the way, they were so abused by this priest that when they finally got a holy priest, they were experiencing post-traumatic stress syndrome, and this priest had to help them heal from that. So the bishop's office had received many accounts from people, and when he sent the diocesan lawyer listened to the staff complain and then said to them, oh, that's just this priest's Italian temperament. You know, he's got an Italian background. Just deal with it. Enough said about that, okay? That's absolutely demonic. Whether that man, that lawyer, was aware that he was a pawn of Satan or not, I don't know. All of us become pawns sometimes of Satan because we all sin. So here's what I wrote. I am very aware that there's a problem on the diocesan level. This goes way beyond our own diocese. It's a sickness in the clergy who were raised in our very self-centered, materialistic, me-first, individualistic society. But the same sickness infects everyone, including the Christian in the pew. Too few want to overcome their own me-first, self-protective tendencies to fight for the oppressed and abused. I wanted to share, there's more to read, but I wanted to share this part with you because I want everybody to realize we are all called to stand up for the abused, to help victims of abuse. Even if you are not a victim of abuse, you are called to help those who are. And then I went on and said, we are not in doing what we're doing with this Rosary Walkathon. We are not against Father so-and-so. We are for him. We care about his soul. We care about his vocation, and we care about all of his victims. What we are up against is the need for reform in the church. The whole church in our society needs to be evangelized to understand what it really means to be followers of Christ. We need, and still do, need a lot more faith formation on what it means to be a Christian, truly a Christian. And it means following Christ, doing what he did, including going to the cross. And so I said, are we willing to go to the cross with him? That's the bottom line of what it means to be a Christian. We are all called, even if it means we have to go to the cross, even if it means we're going to be persecuted. And I go on and say, God is working on a plan that is much bigger than the problems at your parish, much bigger than what happened to you. And I say this to you now, if you, my friend, listening to this, are someone who is in a parish where there is an abusive priest, where there is something evil going on, or even just a priest who is pretty much good, but just maybe it's clueless about how to get in touch with the people because he's very individualistic and not in touch with what it means to be part of a community. Whatever, God is working on a plan that is much bigger than the problems you see, much bigger than what has happened to you or any one person. And it takes much time and much commitment from the few who understand. Those of us who understand must commit ourselves and be willing to do it for a long time. Trust in his plan. And now think about this. If you are someone who has suffered from a priest not being a good shepherd in any way, small or big ways, God has allowed you to suffer so that he can raise you up into being one of his activists in ministry to others and in the reform of our beloved church. He never allows anything to go to waste unless we allow it ourselves. He turns everything into good, a greater good than what would have happened if evil had never interfered with your life or with your parish. I have a lot more that I'd like to share on this, and I'm going to follow this episode up with another episode to go into this deeper. But let me share with you right now, in a nutshell, what happened in my own experience. And then in the next episode, I'm going to go into more detail about how you can do it. A friend of mine from that parish and I decided, after praying, after talking to each other about, you know, what can we do? We've got to do something. We decided to pray the rosary, and we decided that we would commit to doing it every day, every weekday, Monday through Friday. We went to daily mass, and at that daily mass, we took seriously our own need for repentance using the penitential rite. And then after Mass, we began praying the rosary, walking the perimeter of the parish campus. We walked the whole way around, praying the rosary, mysteries of the rosary, over and over again until we had completed a circuit. Other people began to join us. When we went past the building where the church offices were, the parish staff would often look out the window and say, oh, thank God they're praying for us. It lifted their spirits. It was quite a long time before the answer to the prayers came, but it helped them get through that time just by knowing that we were doing this on their behalf and on behalf of every victim of the parish. We did it rain or shine, cold weather, hot weather. When one of us couldn't do it, there was always another person available from our team of prayer warriors who continued this rosary walkathon until the day came when it was no longer necessary. It worked. You too are called. And you can come to my website now to find out how to do the rosary walkathon in your parish. Let us pray. First, I'm going to pray the Our Father prayer, and then I'm going to pray the Come Holy Spirit prayer that I always end my podcast with. But when I pray the Our Father prayer, I'm going to pray it adapted for the situation as an example of how you can begin your rosary or any time that you are praying. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Your kingdom of holiness come into our church today. Fill our church with your holiness. Thy will be done on earth, in the church that's on earth today, as it is in the church that's in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Give us today what we need to be your soldiers defeating Satan and lifting us up and healing us. Forgive us, Father, our trespasses, because we too are sinners, though we are fighting against and we are taking action against priests who are wolves in sheep clothing, sinning in a big way. We too are sinners. Lord, forgive me for my own trespasses, my own sins, as I forgive those who have sinned against me, against my parish, against the whole church. Strengthen me against temptation. Strengthen all of us against temptation and deliver us from the evil one. Deliver us from the wolf in sheep's clothing. Deliver us from the evil spirits behind that. And now let us pray, come Holy Spirit. Come Holy Spirit, fill us. Come Holy Spirit, renew us. Come Holy Spirit, embolden us. Come Holy Spirit, help me to be your instrument of reform. Come Holy Spirit, purify me. You have my permission to change me. Come Holy Spirit, show me what you want me to do. Come Holy Spirit, reveal what you are calling me to do. If you said that prayer with me, say amen. Amen.
You've been listening to Terry Modica of Good News Ministries. For more faith builders, or to learn more about this ministry, come visit our website at gnm.org. You'll find online resources and lots more to help you know the Father's love and grow closer to Christ and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Visit gnm.org today.